Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're glad you've joined us this morning here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's currently rainy skies, 61 degrees, going to get up to a high of only 65 today. Pretty much a blah day. If you're making your way out to work, make sure you've got the rain gear, the equipment you need to make it through the wet day. And inside your cubicle, that might not take a whole lot, but at any rate, it's going to be a rainy day and cool in the 60s, this first day of June 2005. As always, we have a great show on tap for you this morning. Looking forward to your phone calls as well today. You can reach us here on either of our backup lines. The first is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also try 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. Either one of those numbers should work today while we get everything else established as need be. Some people have still been wondering, well, Dr. Coben, you promised that the signal, the TRN people would fix the signal last week. Well, I did promise that. It was supposed to be done this weekend, but remember we have a volunteer staff and they ran into a snag, so unfortunately, the signal problem in Greenville is still not fixed, and it will be fixed as soon as possible. So if you're wondering about that, wondering why the signal is still so weak where you are, well, it's just some technical problems that we have not been able to, they have not been able to overcome yet. And so if you just be patient, they will get to it as soon as possible. So at any rate, also trying to do some interesting things about raising some funds now for the Tyranny Response Network Signal Team. They would like to be able to expand to locations elsewhere in the upstate, want to be able to get enough of a stronger signal in Pickens County, as well as one in Travelers Rest in Spartanburg that's stronger than what we have now. This is only possible by your generous and voluntary, of course, donations. You can go to the policyofliberty.net website, and down below on the page there, you'll see a link to click here to donate. Anything that you can donate, $5, $10, $25 or more, is greatly appreciated if you go to that site. I would like to encourage all of you to do so, especially this month of June, as we have a promotion going on that anyone who is able to donate more than $25 a month will receive a free signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. In addition to that, those who contribute over $100 will not only receive the book, but also receive the advertised video on here, the DVD, Warriors of Honor. So I hope you'll go to the webpage and donate something to the Tyranny Response Network. We can really use several hundred dollars right now for each of these locations, and your contribution will make a difference. Believe me, I've seen it happen before. People just add in their own $10 or $20. It's amazing how fast it will add up. It won't cost you much. You won't even notice it's gone, and yet you'll have helped promote the cause of liberty greatly. So we would greatly appreciate your donation. You can also go to the tyrannyresponse.com website. At the bottom, you'll find an address there in Piedmont, PO Box 151. Go to that. Yeah, you can use that to send paper checks to if you're still using the old-fashioned method rather than the online method. Either one of those will work. Make sure you include, in that case, your name and address so that we can know where to send you the items mentioned, Bible and Government book, as well as the video, Warriors of Honor. Well, at any rate, good show on tap on store for the morning, as we say always here in Christian Worldview. Remember, we're not a typical talk radio show. We're a talk radio show that's designed to help you think better. You may indeed have to have that second cup of coffee before you tune on in. We talk about subjects that are fairly deep that are not talked about elsewhere, an alternative news source for you, as well as an alternative way of thinking about the Bible, about public policy, those things returning to economics, which relate to the Christian worldview as well, which most of it does. And we try to bring these things to light in order to educate people. We have a bumper sticker hanging on the wall of the studio which says, "Restore Southern Heritage by Educating the Ignorant." And we'd like to do just that, not just Southern heritage, but a heritage of liberty. Of course, we're very, very much in favor of the South and its great history and heritage as we look back and see the tragic events in America that turned us away from the principles of the founders into the principles of globalism, socialism, and of big government. We're opposed to these things, and we know that you would be as well, or many folks would be as well, if they just knew how they've been lied to about people like Abraham Lincoln, or how life has been degraded, not improved, by the advent of socialism and government intervention into the economy, into their lives. These are things we need to fight against, and as Christians we can make a difference in our lives. We can change public policy for the glory of God. We can make an influence on the world for the kingdom of God by what we say and what we do. But in order to be eloquent and effective, what we need to do is be educated about public policy issues. We need to be educated about the Christian worldview in general, and we need to be educated about what the Bible says, what the theories that economics provides for us that are useful tools, so that we're not going to have the wool pulled over our eyes. We're going to be able to see right through the nonsense that is thrust upon us by the neocons, the liberal left, and the divine right perspective, the Tory perspective that pervades our churches here in America. So we're trying to do it. It's a big task. We're trying to do that, though, at Christian Worldview, and hope that you will benefit from it. All right, well, what are some interesting stories that happened? Well, yesterday's Greenville News, actually the local paper, had an interesting story from staff writer Robert Barnett. He says as follows, "Dr. Wade Northern lined up five plastic models of fossilized skulls, each larger than the one before it, on a table in a conference room of the Greenville News. This, the Furman University biologist said, is clear evidence of evolution. The chairman emeritus of Bob Jones University's Natural Science Division wasn't buying it. Just because the skulls seemed to illustrate a progression from an ape-like being to a modern man doesn't mean they're related, Dr. Joseph Henson argued. The debate between an evolutionist and a creationist was a microcosm of what's going on in almost daily in the newspaper's editorial pages and across the upstate in the nation. It's a debate that spills over into what children are taught into public schools. But the overarching debate would follow the evidence wherever it leads, and that doesn't necessarily mean denying that there's a divine creator behind it, said Dr. Sashi Rishi, a chemistry professor at Greenville Technical College, who isn't involved in the conference. I say there could have been evolution. That doesn't. If I say that there could have been evolution, that doesn't mean I'm a person who should be condemned because I'm just following the path of science, says Rishi, who is a Hindu. Ooh. Skipping on down in the article, a couple things to note. The Christian and non-Christian can see the same evidence, but the unbeliever refuses to submit to what God's law word says about it, according to Kelly Smith, who's a philosophy professor at Clemson who studies this controversy. Creationists say a lot of things, most of which turn out to be false or misleading, he says, while we, of course, here at Christian Worldview, find the exact opposite to be true. Those who are pagans, those who choose not to believe in God, will obviously have to have some system they come up to decide or to tell them how the universe began, where origins of life began. Of course, these are two related questions, but actually quite different questions. And I'm not going to speak too much about this morning because I'm not that informed on the creationism issue, enough to be dangerous at least. But the whole notion of the universe's origins, in other words, where did the initial matter come from, how did we get planets and stars, how did all these things actually first begin, is a different question than when did life begin. Traditionally, modern scientists, these evolutionists, the Darwinians, the pagans, has said, well, there was some kind of big bang, and a bunch of matter just exploded, and as it exploded, someone was telling me the other day they had positive forces and negative forces, and they both canceled each other out to zero and eventually brought the universe into equilibrium. That theory apparently has been fairly well discredited and debunked, even by their own pagan colleagues nowadays, so they're looking for another alternative. But that's what they used to say, at any rate. Now, this takes an awful lot of faith that matter would just be there. We don't know where it came from. It was just a big block of matter. It just happened to be there, you know, billions of years ago, and it blew up and created all the things we have today. That's pretty bizarre in and of itself to think that might be the case, and it takes a lot of faith to believe it. So, well, we don't believe that here at Christian Worldview. We believe that God, out of nothing, created the universe. He spoke, and it was done. And so we had, effectively, God creating everything from nothing. That is a Christian worldview. The second part of the Darwinian view is also questionable, and that is that somehow, some way, physical matter that was inanimate, had no life in it in this world, was simply transformed, either by a combination of light and gases or well, who knows what else. Something somehow, just whatever way possible, life came out of nothing, just transformed itself into some kind of single-celled, or I mean, maybe not even that kind of life, some small plant kind of like life. And that began the whole thing. And then from that one single cell of plants, you end up getting all sorts of other creatures, whether it be living animals or other kinds of plants. Rather bizarre. You talk about taking a lot of faith to believe. This is it. They have no evidence to show either that there is a fossil record linking these things, where you have one species becoming another. It just doesn't exist. There is no intermediate step, and you would think you'd see some intermediate steps along the way. Well, there's my little diatribe about evolution this morning, and my tangent. If you would like to talk about the evolution versus creation issue, be glad to hear from you this morning. I think that those who don't hold to it have a pagan worldview and are not in our camp. That should make some sense to you. But I think the creationist worldview is a super important piece of the Christian worldview. We have to hold to the fact that God created all things if we're going to be solid in our Christian worldview perspective. Well, we're going to come up and take a quick break now. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you are. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we are a special network because of that. We do not go along with the mainstream. Did you know that? We're not only fish swimming up the mainstream. In fact, we're just going in our own riverbed. We're not following along the Pied Piper here on the Tyranny Response Network or the Christian Worldview Show. I know you're thinking to yourself, I didn't know that radicals like this even existed anywhere. They're so anachronistic. They sound like they're right, you know, from the Boston Tea Party and on. Well, yeah, we are, and we're out here. We're finally talking about things in an academic environment or in an environment of a deep-thinking radio show. We're not afraid to do that because we see the importance of it. Well, the liberals thought that they'd public-schoolized enough of us so that they could forget about the Declaration of Independence and forget about the principles of the founders or the Christian worldview, for that matter. Homeschooling's changing all that. And so is the fact that we have shows like this and columnists who are writing about things of this nature, people publishing books. It's not lost. We still are here. We just need to become more educated ourselves and turn the church back in the direction it should be, turn pastors back to doing the job that they should be doing here in the world. China cancels export tariff, contemplates WTO action against the United States. China on Monday threatened to take the United States to a dispute proceeding at the World Trade Organization if the Bush administration persists in restricting imports on Chinese-made textiles. China also rescinded tariffs on its own textile imports, asserting that it would do nothing to limit its shipments as it offered to do last week, so long as the United States and Europe impose their own restriction. China is doing more to help low-income Americans than all bureaucrats put together, is what was said by one of our research staff, and I think that's probably true. We should not fear that somebody selling us something cheaper. We have to be very careful. There's so much, even among constitutionalists, there's a concern that we need to go and have protectionism again, that the world needs to be protected. We need to be protected from the world's economic power. Because they say trade isn't fair. We want free trade, but we also has to be fair. If it's not fair, we don't want it. We'd rather, instead of having fair trade, raise tariff barriers up so that our consumers are punished and pay a lot of extra money. As Milton Friedman said, why should we care if other countries want to give us gifts, if their taxpayers subsidize their industries? Oh, but Dr. Coben, we might lose the textile industry. Well, look, folks. If someone else is able to produce these things overseas cheaper than we can and more efficiently, then it's time for us to move on to something that's more important, even if it requires retooling and people, you know, a number of people, thousands of people being displaced from jobs. It's not that big of a deal in the economic picture of things, in the framework. I know that's a harsh thing to say, especially in South Carolina, where we rely so much, or we used to rely so much here, on textile production. The fact of the matter is that we can survive by simply changing over to new industries. And sometimes it's necessary to do that in order to cope and survive in the world. But there's no reason to saddle American consumers with high tariff rates so they end up paying 40% more money for sugar or twice as much for orange juice or whatever else, just so other people can be benefited from it who are in a particular industry. This is just a simple truth of economics. I mean, why, as a consumer, would you rather pay, say, it's $4,000 a year for all the tariffs you pay? Why? Pay the lower price. It's better for you, it's better for your family, and ultimately it's better for the economy. That money otherwise just goes to the federal government or to a monopolist. Either goes to the tariff tax that goes to the federal government, or it goes to the monopolist, or those who receive the privilege of the benefit of the tariff protection here in America. So you pad the pockets of inefficiency, or you pad the pockets of corruption. I can't see any good reason for having a tariff. Now, you may choose to only buy American and buy things that are more expensive. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that if you really want to do that. But I'm not sure why you'd want to. Wouldn't it be better to use some of that money that you save, giving it to some charitable cause? Well, that's your decision. It's your money. You can do what you want with it. But Christians do not need to be supporting tariffs. It's just not a prudent thing to do. Even if it's constitutional, Even if it's allowed to put customs duties on things, doesn't mean we should do things. The same thing, there are a few flaws in the Constitution. That's one of them, even mentioning that. The other is the having of a post office that's run by the government, which has been used by Lincoln and other barbarians in our history to suspend free speech. People in the government can simply stop the mails from going. And by doing so in the past, that was important. People could not get news information if it couldn't be mailed. And that's precisely what happened under the regime of Lincoln. So there's no reason that should be in the Constitution either. Anyway, interesting. We don't like the WTO, and we certainly don't like the communist China here and their government. We'd love to see the people of China be finally free, and we'd love to see some greater freedoms established through true free trade rather than these socialist globalist empires, these so-called trade organizations that are supposed to facilitate it. It's just not happening. Okay, we have a couple of other interesting articles that have come up from our research staff again. I'll read just a couple of these quickly. Well, this one's going to take a little bit longer. I'll tell you what, we're going to hop to a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can now obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Thank you for that. Also, a reminder, this Saturday you have the Carolina Patriots meeting for their regular monthly meeting in Greenville at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant across from the Greenville Mall here in Greenville, South Carolina, off of Woodruff Road. Hope you can make it from 12:30 or so when lunch begins. Meeting goes until 3 o'clock. Hope to see you there this Saturday. A couple other stories came up that were sort of interesting, I think, and the research staff saw fit to send it off to me. The European Constitution, a Requiem. This is published in the Freeman Ideas on Liberty from October 2004 by Norman Berry. At the end, and of course, this is in the news recently because the French stood firm for freedom and decided to not ratify new constitutional powers. At any rate. The European Constitution, an impenetrable 330-page document, this is the size of this massive thing. Of course, this is nothing compared to these trade agreements. I think I was told that the WTO trade agreement is now 36,000 pages. How in the world can you digest that? From not uncompromising beginnings, it has proceeded towards a new superstate at even a faster pace than America departed from its equally auspicious origins. Equally important, they wanted to face the Soviet menace while not openly conceding they were free riding on American defense. This is what the Europeans did after the Treaty of Rome in 1957. The first name of the new venture is the European Economic Community, and that is what it was, an attempt to break down trade barriers between European countries, just like things are trying to do here, aren't they? Aren't we trying to break down trade barriers, supposedly, between Mexico, Canada, already done that. How about some of the rest of Latin America, Central America, through CAFTA? Yes, we're on the same course as the Europeans were on. But the subsequent history of Europe is the story of inexorable centralization. The single European Act, a true to form, so far as being freeing the market, licensed the imposition of strict regulations across the continent, and the veto was significantly reduced. Since then, the centralization of Europe has proceeded apace, with a gradual removal of the jurisdictional competition. Delegates were not in any way representative of the people, as the men in Philadelphia were. It became the supreme European law. The constitution of there proclaims the supremacy of European law over that of member states, and that's why France rejected it. But this did not establish unequivocally the priority of European law. There was the problem, for example, of the sovereignty of Parliament of Britain and the binding constitution of Germany. Thus, in McCarthy's versus Smith, the British courts held in 1979 that since Britain's accession in 1973, the country's laws were subservient to Europe. But Lord Denning also said that if Parliament deliberately and consistently breached European law, it would be the duty of our courts to follow the statute. In 1994, although the German Constitutional Court upheld the centralizing Maastricht Treaty, it also said that Europe was a confederation of autonomous legal systems and that European law was subordinate to the basic law, Germany's constitution. It would be acceptable if a written constitution embodying property rights as well as civil rights were consistently and accurately interpreted by a dependable judiciary, but we know from American experience that this does not happen. Written documents are no more than parchment protection, subject always to fashionable whims that appeal to the judiciary. Americans now have the living constitution and a continuous creation by the Supreme Court. The first victim of this electable process is economic liberty, of course. The European Constitution aims at eliminating legal autonomy, as in Britain and Germany. Okay, we all know, skipping on in the article, that the limitation of federal power has been emasculated, and this will undoubtedly include labor market regulation, precisely because the bigger member states, especially Germany, wish to impose their heavy non-wage labor costs on all of the Union. There is also the extremely costly Charter of Fundamental Rights. Well, at any rate, in America, the constraints are now interpreted as licenses, and that's precisely what will happen in Europe. The European Commission had been forced to resign en masse in 1998 for its failure to clamp down on its possible involvement with dishonesty. Tony Blair has already said that the first vote about this constitution would be decisive, however, it would be unwise to trust politicians. Yes, well, as always. Who can say the anti-federalists were wrong, given what now goes on in Washington? No one. The anti-federalists are right. The best, and that's, of course, like your Thomas Jefferson and George Mason types, your Patrick Henrys. The best hope for the free market is a system of competitive jurisdictions where law and regulation are chosen the way that soap and cars are. If implemented, the new constitution will more or less eliminate what remains of legal competition in Europe. Important story. Glad the research staff sent that up. Europe is suffering and beleaguered by lots of socialism and globalism. It's really a troubled continent in many ways. Of course, there's prosperity there relative to other places in the world. There's no question about it. They live a life very similar to the way we live a life here in America. But nevertheless, their taxes and their regulations are astounding in Europe. In fact, so much that the mindset of the common person has been completely warped and twisted by the statist influence. Well, we're trying to hold back here in America that from happening. We want to try to stem the tide, if possible, if by the grace of God we're able to do so, stem the tide against wickedness, against those things which would stand up against God and His ways, because the Bible tells us that we are to pull down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, such as we're seeing around the world today. At any rate, interesting stuff that we see around us with the European Union and so forth. I want to remind you of our phone numbers here, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. Backup lines also working this morning, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing your calls about any of this stuff, whether it be the European Union or gun control or public schools or some from the Memorial of Villainy program we had on Monday from these great American villains and criminals in history as we tried to expose them for what they were doing in their own context. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to give a couple quick announcements, and then we've got to run to the break. First of all, are the Times Examiner. We need to continually plug something for the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner needs your support, as does the Tyranny Response Network. It's a conservative voice of the Palmetto State. You get great columnists sent to your home address 52 weeks out of the year, and these columnists include Walter Williams, yours truly, the Tyranny Response Unit, Thomas Sowell, Ben Graydon, occasionally our famous Stephen Yates, Dr. Stephen Yates up here. You can get a full year subscription for just $25 if you're in state, $27 out of state. Email or call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. Hope you'll be able to do that today. 864-268-0576. If you've got a business that needs some advertising, why not run an ad on the Times Examiner as well? They need the support right now and really need to increase their ad base if they're going to continue as a paper. So, again, call 864-268-0576. The Tyranny Response Network also needs donations to improve its signal. And this month there's a special promotion that those who donate $25 or more receive a free signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Those donating $100 or more this month will receive that, as well as the DVD Warriors of Honor on the lives of and character of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Well worth doing. It's for a great cause, and right now we really need your support. Two ways to donate. One is to go to the policyofliberty.net website, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll find a couple donate tabs there for using PayPal and Visa and MasterCard. The other way is to go to the tyrannyresponse.com website, and at the bottom of that website you'll find the address in Piedmont where you can mail a check. Make sure you include your name and address so we know where to send the materials to you. The P.O. box there is P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. Well, it's time for a break. We'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty?
The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Glad you joined us this morning on Christian Worldview. And here in the upstate of South Carolina, a rather gloomy day in the low 60s right now. It's not going to get much higher than that, maybe 65 degrees, and lots of rain in store today in the upstate of South Carolina. So if you're interested in calling the show and being on the air this morning, please do so by calling 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or other line, temporary line, while they're still servicing our main line, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. Hope to hear from you soon here on Christian Worldview. Couple other interesting stories and things and facts that are going on today that might pique your interest. I hope they will, at any rate. There is a publication that actually came out in November 2000 by Ian Vasquez, a friend of mine who I've worked with at the Cato Institute. He's writing on the return to a global economy, the return to a global economy. The Cato Institute, by the way, is one of these large think tanks. This is the more libertarian version up in Washington, D.C. They do an outstanding job of keeping a check on government and obviously producing some very scholarly materials. You simply go to cato.org and you'll see why. It's a tremendous resource, a tremendous website. He says, if we want to understand the current advance of global capitalism, it is worth remembering that the liberal international economic order has actually arisen twice, first at the end of the 19th century and now at the end of the 20th. In many ways, the world economy has simply caught up to where it was 100 years ago, prompting economists to question whether the level of international integration is as high now as it was before the interruptions of the two world wars and Great Depression. One area in which the world is decidedly less liberal than under the Pax Britannica is that of immigration. Although technological advances have made travel more affordable and convenient than in the 19th century, when restrictions on immigration were minimal or non-existent, today most countries in the world, certainly most rich countries, have an array of labor and immigration regulations. So that prevents the movement of labor. Now, I want to stop and interject here that immigration is a very healthy thing for any economy because, first of all, you get the go-getters who are willing to immigrate, the ones who are actually willing to leave their families and all the traditions and things like that. The kind of people that have that sort of attitude tend to be the most creative, dynamic people, and I don't know if it's genetic or otherwise, but they end up producing a whole lot, and we've received a lot of those immigrants here in America. On the other side, also bear in mind that that immigrants come completely trained and educated, from whatever that means. Of course, in the public school system here in America, you don't get a whole lot of training about anything, any rate. And they would come here without being abused by those things. The American system, even, I don't know if their system where they came from is better or not, but nevertheless, they know probably how to read and write, or they know something about their trade, whether it be plumbing or you know, picking strawberries. It doesn't matter. Those people come with a skill already in place. The most expensive part of any person's life are the first 18 years, where you have to devote so many resources to educating, feeding, clothing these the kids. as well as in a very, very old age when they have to be cared for by with expensive medical treatment. Those are the most expensive pieces, parts of a person's life, and if someone comes here completely ready to work already, it's a tremendous boon to the economy. They just go right away and become the so-called productive member of society. So immigration is actually a very healthy thing when it occurs in an economic system. Getting back to what Ian Vasquez says, much trade in, today involves corporations slicing up the value chain and engaging in intra-industry trade. As a result, manufacturers' goods are increasingly exported from developing countries to developed countries, yes, as we know. I just want to skip down a couple more places here. Globalization today has benefited from technological improvements, but has almost been entirely due to dramatic political changes. Countries around the world have lowered their trade barriers and opened their economies since the 1980s, and especially so since the fall of the Berlin Wall. Although globalization is often said to create inequality and economic volatility, historic evidence points, in fact, to economic convergence and living standards among countries that open their economies. History offers unambiguous positive correlation between globalization and convergence. When the pre-World War I years are examined in detail, he's quoting a person named Williamson, the correlation turns out to be causal. Globalization played the critical role in contributing to convergence. So when he talks about globalization, he's talking about allowing immigrants to come in and actually opening the borders. Important piece of information when we talk about the return to a global economy by Ian Vasquez. Now, I'm going to make a couple other comments about this from the Christian worldview point of perspective. I want you to be aware of these things, folks. From a Christian worldview point of perspective, we need to have a worldwide perspective. There is no way that we should have our minds limited by political boundaries. It's a mistake. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about the national sovereignty of the United States or the importance of the Constitution. I'm not saying that whatsoever. In fact, it's a wonderful thing that we can have such documents to protect rights here in America. But as far as trade goes, as far as missions work goes, as far as the work of the church and the kingdom of God goes, we don't have a political boundary that really is that important to us. We should not be those who think of America first and other people second. We should not be those who think that trade must stop where our language stops, that we can't trade with people that don't speak our language. I know some you're thinking to me, well, who would think that? It's kind of stupid to think of such a thing. Well, but it is kind of stupid to think that way, but many people do. There is nothing inherently wrong with us trading with people in other countries. And the idea that if we don't produce textiles here or some raw materials that we'll be slaves of the world is simply false. There are 182 countries in this world. There are many, many millions of people, obviously billions of people in the world who are more than happy to trade their goods and services, whether it be foodstuffs or textiles or other things, so that even if someone were to try to cut us off and we weren't producing our own oil anymore or our own textiles, for instance, someone would find a way to smuggle them in and trade them with us. Why? Well, for the simple reason that they want to make money. And even if 3 or 4 countries or 20 countries attack us, there'll still be plenty of others who would be willing to supply us. So we don't need to think within the box, so to speak, and be bound by political boundaries and or borders in terms of trade agreements. In terms of truly free trade, in terms of really being open to buying and selling with other people in the world where we can get the best product at the cheapest price. That is part and parcel of what we should be doing as Christians, as good stewards, and we should not be worried about the nationalism that goes along with having one's borders one's border so definitely defined that we can't see beyond them and that other people should not have anything to do with us. We become nationalists par excellence. That's not part of the Christian worldview, and we need to expunge that from our perspective and our way of thinking. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 849-0277.
And we'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Somebody had sent me a message in about stamping the back of deposited checks. If you put a stamp on the back of the check, you don't have to declare it as taxable income. No, I don't know if that's true or not, but somebody sent me a note, and it piqued my interest. I'm interested in knowing more about it. If you happen to know more about that particular event, story, philosophy, idea, procedure, whatever you want to call it, I would like to hear about it. So do give us a call here at the Christian Worldview Program. We can discuss it. Instead of signing your checks when you deposit in the bank, you just put the stamp on it for whatever deposit is, and then supposedly it can't be counted as taxable income. Well, we hear lots of different things on Christian Worldview, some of which are spurious and not needed to be talked about again. And maybe this is one of those things, but the verdict has not yet come in on it. It's an interesting thesis. We'd like to find out more about why people are saying that. Yesterday we talked about Peter Henderson's book, The Cracking of the Code. Not afraid to do that on Christian Worldview, and how folks are not required to file income tax returns and so forth, and actually getting refunds back from the federal government as they apply his thesis and procedure. We're interested in hearing about that. That's why we mentioned it on yesterday's show. So if you'd like to talk about this, stamping the back of deposited checks, or about Pete Henderson's book, Cracking the Code, we'd love to hear from you here on Christian Worldview this morning. Well, there are a couple of other interesting articles. We have lots of interesting articles all the time, don't we, here on the Christian Worldview. In fact, there's a couple things here. Yes, one of our researchers sent in the quotation from George W. Bush, not our favorite president, not quite as much of a villain as the others we mentioned on Monday, but still trying to rise to power to get to that point if he could. He said on August 5th, 2004, "Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we." Isn't that a funny way to put it? I mean, I wonder if he really meant that. Let's listen to that quotation again. "Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about ways to harm our country and people, and neither do we." Well, I wonder if somebody doctored up that quote. I don't know, but George W. Bush has certainly been good at harming America through the Patriot Act and other things that he does. At any rate, interesting. I think some of my production staff and the researchers must have doctored that one up. I would like to see an actual source for that. It's great if he really did say that. It would be wonderful and revealing in the sense that it's revealing. Not sure that he did, though. Okay, well, we have a question that was sent into... Well, let's get back to this one first. There's the effects of evolution's racist roots. This is an interesting story that was sent in by the Abbeville Libertarian Party chairman here in the Upstate. The effects of evolution's racist roots on students by Sharon Hughes, May 22, 2005. This is newswithviews.com. She says, should an effort be made to explain that evolution is just a theory when teaching it in a public school? Should teachers explain the racist philosophical views of Darwin and his advocates? How about telling them that the full title of Darwin's book is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, including the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life? I didn't know that. How many listeners knew that? That Darwin was a racist and that the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life is part of the title of his book. Could it be possible that teaching evolution as a fact that students come from animals and without purpose be responsible in any way for the increase of crime and other social problems such as rape, what you're seeing amongst our youth today? Of course. I mean, are you answering rhetorical questions, Mrs. Hughes? Could teaching a theory of creation that each person could be created uniquely and for a purpose, at least with equal time in the classroom, engender a sense of dignity, justice, and greater value of human life in them? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that teaching young people that everything about them, including their emotions, aspirations, and sense of worth, are simply the behavior of nerve cells, would have less than a favorable impact upon them. Well, we appreciate that comment. I'm not going to read her whole article here, but she is obviously bringing up some interesting points. I didn't realize there was such a racist connection with Darwin. I appreciate the research staff digging that one up and talking to us about it this morning. Well, when we come back from our break, we're going to have an interesting email sent in by Corey Burnell from Christian Exodus. Want to read that and comment on that in the air, as well as Chuck Baldwin. We'll try to get to what some of the things he has to say and some other interesting articles about, and actually some books, an excerpt from a book called The Illusions of Victory about Woodrow Wilson, one of our great villains, talked about on Monday. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
And as a matter of fact, we just received an email from Nelson, who's sent a question to questions@policyofliberty.net. Nelson, obviously, irate this morning with the Tyranny Response Unit's perspective on immigration. Appreciate him writing in. Don't mind once in a while or any time people want to write in and disagree with the Tyranny Response Unit. That's part of talk radio. He says, did you become a Marxist overnight? No. Never been a Marxist before, and certainly not one now. But at any rate, your ideas on immigration are pure fairy tales, John. The situation you described doesn't exist. Please stop spouting that stuff. It's a huge embarrassment. This is where libertarianism, big L, yet purely insane, is just so skittish about racial concerns it loses marbles. It's marbles about some real-world issues. There's a huge difference between between immigration that's illegal, immigration or immigration by criminals, and regular immigration that comes through legal means and is done orderly. And I stand by what I have to say. What I said was correct about immigration. This country is made great by many of the immigrants that came here. There's nothing wrong with immigration, especially when there's no welfare state. And I realize there are complications every time you have a welfare state and people don't have to come in here and assimilate. Those are two very tragic events that actually cause all sorts of social problems and chaos. I'll have to agree with that. Of course, my grandparents immigrated here, and they assimilated. They didn't think they could maintain their own particular language and not learn English. They of course didn't speak English perfectly themselves, but they learned as best they could, and their children learned English perfectly. Also went and assimilated well into the culture and adopted the principles and premises to some extent, at least in our family, of the founders. So it's a good thing that as long as you have that sort of immigration where people assimilate. In addition, as long as people aren't coming here to actually partake of welfare state benefits, whether it be emergency room requirements issued by the state or the so-called public school, then you can have another benefit as well. People come here and if they don't work, they die. They have a very different attitude and a way of going about things. And in addition to that, people don't have to pay for them, who are other taxpayers. So not sure why that sounds like a fairy tale to you, Nelson, but appreciate the email this morning. This is the great heritage of America in allowing immigrants to come in here. And I certainly, as a Christian, do not want to keep anybody out of this country who is being persecuted or oppressed and who's willing to come here and assimilate and not take advantage of other people through the welfare state. If they want to come here and work, wonderful. I have no problem whatsoever, especially if they, as I said, are not trying to take advantage of other folks. So, interesting comment. I'm not sure why the reaction. And no, by the way, again, I've never been a Marxist. Not sure why anybody thought of such a thing. In fact, do Marxists really like immigration? I'm not sure that Marxists really do like immigration. Not sure why the connection there. Here's another email. Came in from Corey Brunel, who's head of Christian Exodus. He says, our members need an education in property rights. For example, the fact that property taxes are nothing more than paying rent to the state for a property you think you own, or you think you own. He's got it in all caps there. They need an education in the fact that voting to tell someone what they can do with their property has no more authority than telling them yourself. The vast majority of conservatives think it is okay to tell people what to do with their property so long as the majority votes to do so. Consider the line life, liberty, and property. Three very equal rights, yet life today is under attack in the name of twisted and bastardized definition of liberty, and property rights are virtually non-existent in the face of the mob. I'm of the opinion that the decline of property rights is the undoing that brings us the complete loss of life and liberty. Okay, now I'm on a rant, he says. Anyway, do you think that you could address the importance of protecting property rights and the correct way to do so? Would you even want to do so, or even want to? Thank you, Corey. Well, Corey, appreciate the email this morning. That's an interesting question that you raise, and I completely agree with the thesis that you're saying, that life, liberty, and property are three inalienable rights, and if you take away the property component of it, the others will be shortly thereafterward lost as well. I've of course written on a number of articles, or actually chapters and books, on the whole issue of allodialism and an absolute system of absolute property rights, and would like to share a little bit about that with you as well. You need to have absolute property rights in this country, as far as I'm concerned, in order to preserve liberty. Absolute property rights, or allodial rights, would allow government to never tax or regulate your property. They can neither tax nor regulate it, and this is the greatest way to promote liberty. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about property rights with this in a minute, but since we have a caller that just buzzed in, we want to go ahead and take the call now, and maybe we'll come back to this issue of property rights in just a minute. Welcome to the show. Who am I speaking to? Hello. Welcome to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with? We've lost a caller. Okay, well, if you were just calling the show, apparently we've lost your call. Maybe you were calling on a cell phone or something. Go ahead and give us a call back. 864-201-6955 is fine. If you're having trouble with that number, call 864-849-0277. That's 849-0277. Well, at any rate, yes, I think Corey's correct in saying that the members of Christian Exodus do need an education in property rights. They need to know that they really do not own their property right now, which is completely correct. If you do not pay the property tax, if you do not abide by the regulations, or if they think you're doing something with your property they don't like growing pot plants on it or something, they will take away your property, and it will be shown to you that you really do not own your property as you own your bicycle or a baseball. What you do is have the privileges from them to use and possess it, so long as you abide by their rules. This is the way the property ownership, quote unquote, is carried out today. And you need to stand up against this as a Christian. Part of the Christian worldview is that God gives us the world to subdue it, and the national government should have nothing to do with interfering and intruding into property in our lives and taking it over. We have a God-given right. We should only be answerable to Him for owning property, and we need not to simply subject ourselves to mob rule. Well, if the majority votes for it, I'm in favor. This is not a true conservative or libertarian position. It doesn't matter. These are inalienable rights, life, liberty, and property. So now I'm on a rant, perhaps, Corey, but that's an answer to your question. I appreciate you writing in this morning and bringing that up. If we'd like to talk more about property rights, we'd certainly be glad to do so here on the Christian Worldview Show. Right now, we're coming up to our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Remember our phone lines this morning, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or 849-0277. That's 849-0277 and the 864 area code. Look forward to hearing from your calls this morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. The weather in the upstate of South Carolina, gloomy again today or today. 61 degrees or 62 degrees, depending on where you are in the upstate of South Carolina. It's not going to get much warmer than that. Probably get up to a high of maybe 65. That's what the Weather Service says. And lots of rain in store for the day, so be prepared for the wet weather as you're making your way out for work, out to work. We have an article here written by Gary North, one of our favorite people to read here on the show, called Whining Parents. Whining Parents by Gary North. A whining child is an annoyance. When parents allow whining, it will continue. When they tire of hearing whining, some of them capitulate to the whiner. The whiner learns that whining pays. No negative sanctions and occasional positive sanctions. The behavior continues. So he's talking about different websites and so forth that have lots of whiners on them. And he says basically the system of public schools will not change based on parents' negative sanctions, slow learners and fast learners. He goes on to say, what is with this that the administrators can control the pass-fail rate? They can decide what percentage of students should stay behind, and the money keeps rolling in. It's all about sanctions. The educators get paid. The parents in the district must fork over the tax money by law. Whining parents get to post their complaints on a website, and this diffuses them. No muss, no fuss. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but only funding cuts hurt us. And all the kids know about all these problems. School administrations know exactly what they're doing. It's an educational system designed by administrators and teachers who did not do well in their academic careers. Interesting enough, I think Gary North makes a good point here, and I'm not going to read his whole article. It's obviously too much, and he's a bit too deep just to read little chunks like that, and perhaps sometimes, and to get a lot of sense out of it. But what Gary North is pointing out is, look, folks, the public school will let parents whine and complain all they want to. They'll let them whine and complain on the website or make a few nasty comments about the school system's agenda and so forth. But at the end of the day, unless you cut off their money, they don't care what you said, and they're going to ignore it. And that's why the public school does not change, no matter how much good pressure is put upon them at school board meetings and so forth. It doesn't matter. These people have an agenda. It's a corrupt agenda. It's an agenda against the Christian worldview, and it's our greatest foe. They're creating our greatest foe, the public school system. So appreciate Gary North trying to point out to us this morning, look, it doesn't matter about caring parents. If you can whine all you want, they're still going to do what they want in that nasty system of the public education. All right, moving on to something else here. Chuck Baldwin this morning. Recently, pollster George Barna released his research regarding the beliefs and conduct of today's Christians. The results are shocking. According to Barna, only 9% of America's born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. Only 9%. To determine a biblical worldview, Barna used the following 8-point criteria. Believing that absolute moral truths exist. Secondly, such truths are defined by the Bible. Thirdly, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Fourth, God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator and still rules today. Fifth, salvation is a gift of God and cannot be earned. Sixth, Christians have the responsibility to share their faith in Christ. Seventh, Satan is real. Eighth, the Bible is accurate in all its teachings. As any Christian can see, these 8 points comprise basic biblical truth. To think that more than 90% of born-again Christians would deny any one of these fundamental truths suggests that the vast majority of professing Christians today have no clue as to what being a Christian really means. As a result, the obvious question that must be asked is, what in the world are our pastors and church leaders teaching in their congregations? It would appear that whatever they are teaching, it isn't the Bible. Barna's research gets even more disturbing. His survey reveals that only 3% of Christian parents include the salvation of their children in the list of critical parental emphasis. What? Does this mean that 97% of America's Christian parents really don't think it critical that their own children go to heaven? At the same time, 39% of America's Christian parents believe it is critical that their children get a good education. Compare these sentiments with those of President Theodore Roosevelt, who said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Barna's research also revealed that only 36% of America's Christian parents monitor or regulate the time and quality of TV, music, and other media that their children were allowed to access. In addition, 45% of America's Christian parents teach their children that there are no moral absolutes. 43% teach their children that there are some moral absolutes. George Barna summarizes findings by saying, "Faith makes very little difference in their Christian lives. Believers do not train their children to think or act differently from the world. It's no wonder that they, Christian children, grow up to be just as involved as gambling, excessive drinking, and other unbiblical behavior as everyone else." The problem with America's Christianity today is that, for the most part, it doesn't exist. What passes for Christianity is instead an anemic, spineless, diluted substitute without convictions or principle. No wonder so many unbelievers see nothing in the church that would draw them into a life-transforming faith in Christ. No wonder so many political leaders ignore the church. No wonder that despite some 300,000 evangelical churches, scores and hundreds of television and radio ministries, and millions of professing Christians, our nation is still on a collision course with calamity. What America needs is real Christianity. I won't read all the rest of it here, but he just basically says today's Christianity cannot even rid the nation of legal abortion. George Barna's research suggests that the real mission field may not be the heathen lands across the seas, but America's churches right here at home. And Chuck and others, this is why one reason Christian Worldview exists, this program. We are here to educate, to bring people back to a vision that the founding fathers helped as well as a Christian worldview, an understanding of these great 8 points and other things that comprise the Christian worldview. That's why we've had Stephen Yates on the phone talking about this in recent weeks, and as he's out on summer vacation, talking about the philosophy of the Christian worldview. And that's why I continually push the Bible and push our understanding of creationism, push our understanding of biblical truth here on the show, because we want Christians to begin thinking biblically and to think better than they currently do. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
And are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you will not have sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road, across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Also want to invite you to the Carolina Patriots meeting at the same restaurant, Woodruff Road, Prime Sirloin, this Saturday. It starts at about 12:30. Come and meet with other Patriots as they discuss issues of the day, which are of great importance, taxation, and liberty-minded issues. Find out about some of the heritage of this great nation by attending that meeting. Starts at 12:30. You can have lunch then, and then go through all the way till about 3 o'clock. In addition to that, on Monday evening, we'll have the resumption of the Institute for the Constitution, and you're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history in drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Those classes started at 6:30 in the evening. If you have to get there a little later because of your work schedule or whatnot, that's fine. They won't castigate you or punish you. Some new members who heard, new attendees who heard about the meeting on the over the air here on Christian Worldview were there last time, and you're welcome to join in. Hop in at the middle right now, talking about, I believe it's Article 3 of the Constitution. On Monday evening. So it'll be a great time, a very informative video you'll watch, and then have a great time of discussion afterward. Location is at South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. That's 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. You can also call Pastor Tony Romo for more directions or to register, 864-269-1443. That's 864-249-1443. Remember, folks, we have the tyrannyresponse.com website right now. Rip and Richie has done a tremendous job of posting all of these announcements there. So if you're driving along and you didn't have a chance to write down something I just said and you want to attend the meeting or you want a phone number of some such thing, you can simply remember to go to tyrannyresponse.com and you'll be able to find all the information there under the events and related media tabs. Also want to remind folks that this month we have a special promotion for the Christian Worldview show and the Tyranny Response Network. We're looking for donations. $25 or more is going to receive a free copy of my book signed by me, Bible and Government. And $100 or more receives that, as well as the Warriors of Honor video just advertised about the lives of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. This is going to go to promote the advancement of our signal equipment. If you go to the policyofliberty.net website, you'll find a couple buttons on the bottom of the homepage where you can donate through PayPal, on your Visa or MasterCard or any other way that you prefer. As well, on the tyrannyresponse.com website, the address there is given, 150 P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont for the Tyranny Response Network, and you'll be able to send a check there if you can help out. Again, that's an offer that's valid throughout the month of June. Hope you'll be able to help us here at the Tyranny Response Network and support a great cause for liberty. Well, I've been waiting to read this all show, The Illusion of Victory, by Mr. Fleming. The Illusion of Victory was a book, more or less a novel, written by Thomas Fleming about World War I, America in World War I, and he exposes a lot of the folly of President Woodrow Wilson. So I'd like to read a bit of that. May have to continue it after the break as we go along here on Christian Worldview, but I think you'll find it very entertaining. Remember, we talked about this villain, Woodrow Wilson, on the Monday Memorial of Villainy program. And here's what he says on page 475. An examination of Wilson's career forces one to ask, what were his principles? Aboard ship on the way to the Paris Peace Conference, he told his aides and fellow passengers that peace would have to be made on the highest principles of justice. Otherwise, he would run away and hide. He saw himself as a Solomonic judge who would arbitrate the selfish goals of the Allies. The results of the peace conference revealed how little weight he gave these words. In his speech calling for a declaration of war, Wilson had said that the German people were not the enemy. The crime of the war lay with their leaders. And the peace conference, he approved Article 231, the infamous war guilt clause. How to explain this total reversal of so-called principle from lofty forgiveness to low revenge? The president said he was for absolute freedom of the seas. He nevertheless permitted the British to strangle American commerce with Europe in the name of their infamous blockade and abandoned freedom of the seas, along with the rest of the 14 points at the peace conference. Wilson proclaimed self-determination as a great principle and then gave away chunks of German-speaking Europe to Czechoslovakia, Poland, Italy, France, sowing the seeds of the next war. Knowing that Austria favored a union with Germany after Vienna lost its empire, Wilson wrote into the Treaty of Versailles an article barring the union, no matter how the Austrians voted. Wilson himself admitted the irreverence, even the foolishness, of this so-called principle of self-determination in his talk with the advocates of Irish independence in Paris. He realized too late that it was an irresistible temptation for petty demagogues everywhere. It remains so to this day. The more one examines the historical record, the clearer it becomes that Wilson regularly applied his rhetoric of principles after the fact or in blithe indifference to the facts. It was just an oratorical device, not a well-thought-out philosophy. He took political positions and then cooked up principles to justify them. One can almost call it a bad habit, which caused an immense trouble in his life. When he could not get his way at Princeton, his opponents became advocates of special privilege and enemies of democracy. Until Pancho Villa started murdering Americans in cold blood, the Mexican rebel was the embodiment of Mexico's revolution against privilege and in the name of democracy. No one summed up this side of Wilson better than the man he tried to silence, Senator Robert La Follette, commenting on Wilson's claim that the peace treaty fulfilled his 14 points. La Follette wrote, I sometimes think the man has no sense of things that penetrate below the surface. With him, the rhetoric of a thing is the thing itself. He is either wanting in understanding or convictions or both. Words, phrases, felicity of expression, and blind egotism have been his stock in trade. And we're going to read a little bit more about this when we come back from the break. But right now, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, reading about the dreaded President Woodrow Wilson, one of the greatest, most evil presidents this country's ever produced, and for all his activities. In fact, you remember Ben, caller Ben, said the other day that he's number two on the list right after Lincoln on the Monday show. He said that in my book, he's number three. He's in, right behind Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Lincoln does, I think, get the winning nod as the most evil tyrant America's ever produced. And FDR is a close second in my book, then followed by Woodrow Wilson. Well, speaking of all these characters, reading another excerpt from the Thomas Fleming book published by Basic Books called The Illusion of Victory. He says on page 482, Woodrow Wilson struggled to deal with his inadvertent covenant with power. Like Lincoln, who suspended habeas corpus and jailed hundreds of dissenters during the Civil War, Wilson tolerated a brutally realistic government of the home front. Remember, we talked about this. I'm interjecting here. We talked about Lincoln's suspension of the writ of habeas corpus on Monday and his brutal dealings with people in America. Well, Wilson was the same thing. But Wilson corrupted the peace process by proclaiming principles that he failed to support, and by his lack of candor, which culminated in the blatant lie to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about the secret treaties. Worst of all was his tendency to utopianism, the truly fatal fall in his dream of flexing America's idealized muscles in the name of peace. The next man to lead the United States into the Great War had even less candor in his political makeup. Wilson evaded the gritty truths about the covenant with power. Franklin D. Roosevelt at first tried to avoid the whole idea. In the mid-1930s, FDR did little or nothing to prevent liberals led by progressive Republican Senator Gerald Nye from holding a series of hearings that convinced millions of Americans that the Great War had been fought to enrich J.P. Morgan Jr., the DuPonts, and other tycoons. In discussing the subject with Senator Nye in 1935, Roosevelt remarked that he now thought Williams Jennings Bryan was right. Wilson's interventions in 1917 was a mistake. He said the same thing in a letter to Joseph Daniels around the same time. In August 1936, Roosevelt said if another war broke out in Europe, it would be difficult to resist American business leaders who wanted to sell arms to the belligerents. But if the United States had to choose between profits and peace, the nation would choose peace. This was very close to total repudiation of Wilson's war by the man who had served in his administration and had been an ardent interventionist. And, of course, we know what happened with Roosevelt later on as he became our next evil dictator after Wilson. Tough time in the United States. That was an interesting period of history with Prohibition going on, a lot of other things happening with the Roaring Twenties, and then, of course, the whole debacle with the Federal Reserve System taking over the money supply, the confiscation of gold we talked about. All these things happening And the installation of this phony income tax through the 16th Amendment, which has been exposed by Cracking the Code and Peter Hendrickson's recent book, from 1910, just after the Jekyll Island meeting when the Fed was conceived, all the way through the end of the 1940s, when an interesting period of American history, as Americans were completely sold out, from one step to the next, whether it be from these various acts in the mid-1913 era, through World War I, through the so-called Roaring Twenties, the Great Depression, the confiscation of gold, all the way up to World War II. This is an era which totally changed America, moved us away from being a free nation, at least economically, into one that is enslaved to globalist, socialist control. That's what happened during that period. Lincoln killed us, as far as free America goes. But Grant helped, those two administrations. But the economy basically limped on for 30 years after that, until such time that these hoods, Wilson and FDR, really finished it off, the whole dream. So now it's just a forgotten thing. We're now part of the globalist empire. Well, we're trying to, those of us who are truly patriotic Americans and Christians, bring us back to the vision of the founding fathers again, that we might possibly regain freedom in our land and live in a free world once again. It's a great tragedy of loss what we have in America, but we're doing our best at Christian Worldview to bring it back to you. Been a good show this morning. Been glad for your emails and comments. We hope to see you again tomorrow on Christian Worldview, same place, same time. Until then, I also want to remind you, as we close, we're really looking for donations to help produce a better signal. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website or policyofliberty.net website and make a contribution. Either get the address there and mail it in, or use the PayPal online system for Visa and MasterCard. $25 or more is going to receive a special copy, signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government from Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, this month. And $100 or more will also get you the video, Warriors of Honor, about the lives and dedication of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Do support us. We need your help to produce the signal better and at the Tyranny Response Network. And even a small contribution really goes a long way. So by all means, make a point and do it today. Give a charge for liberty. It's money well invested and well spent. And you're listening to Christian Worldview, or you have been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Look forward to seeing you all tomorrow. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.